皆さんこんにちは、ロケーションウィークリージャパン、特別会ということで今日はゲストにこの、LBMA グローバルの、創始者というかプレゼントである、アシーフ・カーンに来てもらっています。アシーフ、Thank you for coming on to this show.
Yes, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
So you are in Japan?
Yes.
Do you come to Japan often or?
Once or twice a year.
That's often enough.
Yes.
So we have this podcast show, which is the called Location Weekly Japan. We obviously took this off of your own, you know, podcasting program, Location Weekly. What do you talk about in the Location Weekly?
Yeah, so every week we try to have a show that kind of looks around the world and sees how different members and different companies areusing location data or technology, or what kind of innovation is happening in the space. So just sharing some of the key stories that we saw from the week before.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the, my favorite show, after the, you know, sporting baseball shows. And anyway, so it is a really nice show. I encourage everybody to listen to this as well. You'll be able to see what's happening in the world of the locations as well.But anyway, so you're the you know, guy who started this whole LBMA thing, right? At my previous podcast, I explained how I started the location, LBMA Japan, right? But that's, you know, you started this...back in 2010?
End of 2009.
Oh, okay, so how did it come about?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So I, previous to the LBMA, I was running a startup in the Wi-Fi analytics space. So okay. I was putting free Wi-Fi into restaurant chains like McDonald's in Canada. And so the consumer would come in and they would get free Wi-Fi, but they have to watch some location-based advertising.
On what?
On their laptop or...
On their laptop?
Yes.
Right. And there was no iPhone back then.
There was no iPhone. Right. So it was their early laptops. And yeah, so they would be able to come in and get free Wi-Fi because at that time, most of the Wi-Fi you had to pay for it. In those
right,
days.
Right, right, right.
So they would get free Wi-Fi, but they, in exchange for the free, they have to watch a advertising that is location-based. So mm-hmm. it's local to the area
right.
from some other businesses or this kind of thing. So we right. built this network. And then I sold the business in 2009. Mm-hmm. And what I saw at that time, because I was one of working very early in the location space,
right.
But around the same time, in 2009, we had the creation of a few companies. So Foursquare was launched in 2009.
Right.
Foursquare had a competitor also launched a few months later called Goala. You had another company out of Boston called Weir, which eBay eventually bought later on, yeah, PayPal. So it, you could see in this kind of late 2009 that there was all of a sudden these new companies coming, trying to figure out about location data.
Right.
And I had just sold my company and I was like, oh, this is an interesting industry that's coming. I want to be involved in that. But when you sell a company, you have to, you know, there's some legal issues around non-competes right. and staying out of the, you know, the industry and so on.So I didn't want to follow the rules.
Right.
So I said, oh, what can I do to stay in the location space? And so I decided, okay, let me launch the LBMA because it's not for profit.
Right.
And it doesn't violate the competitive rules of, you know, selling a for-profit company right. in the space. So that was the reason originally.
Right.
Because I saw this new industry coming. I wanted to be involved.
Right.
But I didn't have the ability to work in the commercial side. So I right. launched a non-profit organization.
Okay. But that's not going to give you any, you know, profit, isn't it?
No, it was something that, you know, I felt that there was going to be many more companies coming, like Foursquare and these kind of companies. And, you know, I wanted to be at the center of kind of bringing the industry together and helping the industry start to find a way to promote and, you know, sell their services to the advertising industry, to the brands, to the, you know, the corporate world. And so that was kind of the mission of the LBMA. And originally, we started only in Canada. And very quickly, we had some events. And it was also very early days for Twitter. And so we were promoting the events on Twitter. And some other people who were on Twitter in New York and Chicago and other markets saw what we were doing. And I started getting calls saying, hey, can we have the LBMA in New York? Can we have the LBMA here and there? And so very quickly, we had to expand outside of just Canada and into the US. And then, you know, it just kept growing and growing from there.
So I can see how things are, you know, moving fast back in those days.
Yeah.
You know, iPhones would have come in back in 2009, 2010,
sometime. Yeah,
around there, right? Late 10, I think. Yeah. So industry, well, I don't know if you can call it an industry by then, but things are moving fast. But now the regulations and laws would come in, you know, towards the mid-2010s, right? 2015, 16.
Yes, right? Yes.
So what has, you know, become an issue with LBMA, or how did you...
Yeah, I think one of the things that we were able to do, you know, as the laws were changing and the privacy issues became clear, you know, governments started to look at this, and the companies started to look at this as well. So a good example, you know, from, you know, North America in particular was Gowalla, who I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
You know, they grew very fast. They were kind of running quite neck and neck with Foursquare for users, millions of users. But then they decided to sell the company to Facebook. And one of the interesting things about that was the reaction from the user community of Gowalla, because they loved Gowalla. They were happy to be Gowalla users. They were happy to share their data with Gowalla.
Yeah.
But the minute that Facebook became the owner now of that data, that everything changed, because then they were, you know, we don't want Facebook to have our data. And none of these location companies at that time had thought about, you know, data ownership, data residency, how to return the data back to the consumer if they don't want you to get to have it. You know, none of these things had been discussed.
Right.
And this became kind of the launch for some of the privacy rules that we now have today.
Oh, so this all started when Facebook bought Gowalla.
Yeah, it was one of the triggers for...
Yeah, we all saw all the news of the, you know, the Facebook being accused by the governments and all that. So I see. Well,
Yeah. So this was one of the reasons, right? And then since then, obviously, now we have GDPR rules in Europe and we have rules here in Japan. And now they're, you know, drafting new rules for US as well to be similar to GDPR. So I think it's changing. I think it's, you know, in some ways it's getting more difficult to collect location data. In other ways, I think it's getting clearer on how to operate and, you know, how to, you know, if you're a company in this space, how to start to think about business models and making money and where you can do that.
So speaking about the business model, you've been doing this LBMA for what, 13 years now, right?
Yeah.
You know, regulations have been changing and all that. What about the business model itself? What do you have seen within this 13 years? What has changed and what has evolved and all?
So I think in the early days, we saw a lot of companies launching and kind of following the typical sort of app launch kind of parameters. You know, let's just acquire users. We don't care about making money. but if we have a lot of users, eventually we can make money.
Right.
That was kind of the early days.
That was always the, not just the location.
Yeah, apps and, you know, in social media, right. all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it was the same in location. And then it became, okay, now we have lots of users. What kind of, you know, sort of personalized, hyper-local ad targeting can we do? Is one-to-one messaging, offers, coupons, these kinds of things. And that was, you know, for many companies, you know, they made some good money from that, working with the big advertising agencies and the brands. And then when the privacy rules tightened up, and there was a fair bit of pushback from the consumer population, a lot of that has stopped now. And what's kind of the, where we are today is you have now more of companies working to build audience profiles or personas or segments based on people's movements, but you're not targeting one person.
Right.
You're targeting a group of people sure. who follow the same behavior.
Sure.
And this has become kind of where the industry is today. And I think we're going to be there now for, you know, another few years at least in that space. And I think so you have companies now that are selling location data,
right?
You have companies that are buying the location data and creating insights and analytics from that data. And then you have kind of the brands and the agencies who are then trying to provide to their clients, you know, some sort of marketing spend and optimization based on that data.
Right.
So those are kind of the three things you see right now today in this space.
Interesting. Yeah. So the location business, location data businesses that we promote here in Japan.
Yes.
It has traditionally been, you know, the advertisement industry that was actually making money, but some other, you know, analytics or the, you know, uses for the connectivity or Mars, the mobility services and all that hasn't really been generating revenues. That's been an issue here. Then the next big thing that's coming is the smart city, super city. And in order to for the smart city to function well enough, they need to have the data, right? But without any sort of data, the smart city is not smart enough.
Yes.
But people are struggling or trying to figure out what the how to make money off of it. Any thoughts or any anybody who's making good money off of you know, new, you know,
things? Yeah, I think a couple of thoughts. So I think one, you have kind of people taking location data right now and kind of doing a lot of modeling and predictive modeling and analytics on, you know, city growth and populations and migration patterns and these kinds of things.
Right.
You have companies now, new companies emerging in North America, at least, where they are creating kind of virtual replicas of the physical population and modeling based on that.
Right.
So that's very interesting right now because it kind of is sort of leading into metaverse applications or digital twins.
Right.
So recently I was at the Geospatial World Forum last week. And one of the big things that all the governments that who were there, it's mostly governments who were there talking about creating digital twins of their cities,
right.
And using those digital twins for, you know, analytical modeling predictions from everything from disaster management,
right.
you know, earthquakes, floods, these kinds of things to, you know, how to build cities, where to build cities, where to build parks, where to, you know, urban planning.
Right.
So I think there are a lot of interesting applications emerging around that. And using digital twins, I think, is going to be one of the big sort of plays there for people.
I mean, that's for the business model is for the local governments to pay.
Yeah, they pay for it. Yeah.
You know, we do have the kind of model thing. Always there's a good amount of subsidies for the initial phase of the implementing new, you know, society changing technologies like this. But you know, we need to have a sustainable business, right? In order for such modeling and all that to, you know, keep going, subsidies will, you know, subside.
For sure.
You know, in a 3 years, 5 years time frame. So I think one of the issues that we need to deal with is to find the sustainable business model that doesn't require subsidies.
Mm.
I know you wouldn't have the answer right at this moment. If you do, you wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
Any thoughts going forward?
Yeah, so I think that there's a couple of things, right? So there's subsidies for these kinds of initiatives right now from governments around the world.
Yeah.
I think the other area where we're seeing big growth again, where maybe we saw, I would say, in 2014, 15, and then it kind of slowed down, is in the indoor hardware-based navigation and analytics space. And this is also playing big now into the smart cities.
Right.
So I think these hardware-based, sensor-based IoT type of platforms, where you can pull location data from that, I think is a sustainable business for many people right now. And you know, I think we're seeing a lot of investments in that, both hardware and software based, you know, kind of beacons and these kinds of things. So it's interesting because, you know, again, kind of similar to the personalized messaging a few years ago, there was a big push around beacon deployments and networks, and then it kind of stopped.
Right.
Because the use case was around personalization,
right,
and things.
Right.
And now the use case is very different. Mm-hmm. Now it's about people movements and visitations and, you know, understanding the city flows and these kinds of things. And some wayfinding and navigation as
right.
well.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. And I think there is a model there.
Okay. Let's hope something tangible can come out of there as well. Okay, so we are closing out this session. It's been fun, but let's have you talk about your own company, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I also have a startup called Ground Level Insights.
Ground Level Insights.
Ground Level Insights.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are based in Toronto, and we are providing location analytics to the North American market.
Sure.
So what that means is we work with retailers and restaurant chains and sports teams primarily to just help them understand who's coming to their stores or their stadiums, you know, where they're coming from, how far they're traveling to get there. And this is helping them to understand where to buy advertising, where to focus their advertising spend. In the case of sports, we're also using this to measure the return on investment for sponsorship sales within the stadiums, these kinds of things. So it's kind of interesting. And now we're starting to explore new partnerships with companies here in Japan and all over the world on bringing more data into the platform, bringing other sensor networks into the platform, and we are seeking partners who have data that can enrich what we're doing.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Any last words, thoughts to the listeners to this show?
Yeah, just to say that it's a pleasure to be part of the LBMA and from day one, and to have you here leading the Japanese efforts. So thank you so much for that. Thanks to all of our members here in LBMA Japan. We're really glad that you're all part of that. And I look forward to being back in October for the CTEC and hopefully seeing all of you in person.
Okay, thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you. All right.